Welcome back to another episode of Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. My guest today is Joshua Jacobs. Josh is the CEO of College Golf Experience and has had a host of really important positions in the world of golf over the last 25 years. He and I discuss a lot about camps, about the importance of camps. We also discuss a ton about the recruiting process. We go over recruiting rules. We go over the biggest misconceptions from parents and prospects, biggest pitfalls, and all the good things, but mostly about trying to find the best fit possible for your college golf experience. So I think you'll really enjoy listening to what Josh has to say. It's not only entertaining, but also very informational. Okay, Better Than I Found It listeners, let's all give a big welcome to Joshua Jacobs. Josh is the CEO of College Golf Experience and a good colleague of mine that I've gotten to know the last couple of years. And Josh, I just want to say thanks for joining me today.
Coach McGraw, it's an honor to be here.
Well, I think you and I have a lot in common. We want what's good for young people in the game of golf. We both have that in common for sure. And I think it's important that some of the things we're going to talk about today, I think, could help young prospects. It could help parents of those prospects. It could help college coaches. Hopefully, the things we discuss today will do all of those things.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that we've worked camps together and seen the value in what these junior golfers and parents can achieve with some education on college golf and the recruiting process. And I think we've got a lot to talk about.
Okay, let's get in there right now. Well, one thing is about it, you know, I didn't know you before we started working camps together. And since I've gotten to know you, I've kind of gotten to know your background. I mean, you've been in the junior golf, college golf space for a long time, probably about 25 years. So run me through this, how you got into it. I know you played college golf, so I want to talk about that as well. But how did you get in where you are today as a CEO of College Golf Experience?
Yeah, so it's been a long ride. It started back in Southern California. I first started playing golf when I was 3. Grew up through the ranks, SCPGA, then AJGA, and ended up at Emory University in Atlanta playing college golf there. And it was kind of an interesting experience for me. The recruiting process, didn't know a lot about it. My parents definitely did not play golf and knew nothing about the recruiting process. And I was going to play at Washington. And when I ended up getting into Emory, decided to go focus a little bit more on academics. Not to say that Washington isn't a great school, but obviously Division I golf is a little bit more demanding than Division III, at least back when I played. And then from there, after Emory, I became a producer at Fox Sports. I was kind of known as the golf guy, and helped do highlight packages for, at the time, Fox was trying to compete with SportsCenter. It didn't go great, but was a great experience for me, and kind of realized that I wanted to be more in the business world than the production world. So at 25, I started a junior golf company. It was called TGA, TGA Premier Junior Golf. And we were very introductory and recreational. So we brought programs for kids into schools, churches, temples. It was an after-school program. Really 70% of the kids that we engaged with, they had never played golf before. So it was very on the low end of that player pathway pyramid. And over my 20-year career with TGA, I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of people and got to sit on some great boards. I was fortunate enough to be in the top 40 under 40 in the golf industry by Golf Magazine and Sports Illustrated. I was on the World Golf Foundation Advisory Board, PGA of America National Board, SCPGA boards, and throughout my time, I really thrived in the junior golf world, and we got to about 1 million kids, about 1.1 million when I left the company in 2021, and during that time, I actually got a call from Greg Grost, who we know, the head of the GCAA, and he says, "Hey, you run about 2,500 camps a year, and there may be an opportunity here for you to help juniors and parents and coaches kind of come together around, junior golf and college golf." And it was, I started doing research on the company and what he thought of, and really found that there were some real shortcomings in the education for junior golfers and parents about college golf and the process to get there. And so kind of one thing led to another, and here we are, coach.
Wow. I honestly didn't know all that history. I was telling my assistant coach Mikkel just a couple of weeks ago. He was getting ready to go back to Norway to raise his boys and go with his wife back to Norway. And he had done all the preliminary work for our golf camp, had done all of it. And normally he did that, and then he also worked camp. But he wasn't going to get to work camp this year. And I said, "I don't know how I'm going to finish a camp without you." But then I looked at it and I did the math. I had done 118 camps in my life of 3 days or more. Now, those some were just day camps, some were overnight camps, some were my camps, some were institute. It 118. So I think I've paid my dues on camps. But anyway, I see where you're coming from. It's like that's a great, great space. And I had no idea you had 1.1 million kids that you had actually affected through the years. Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. You talk about running camps, and you obviously have tremendous experience and expertise. It's one of the things that I noticed when looking at the opportunity to impact, kind of that upper echelon of the pyramid, right? You have kind of introductory level, which is the base, and then you go to recreational in the middle, and then, obviously the upper part of that pyramid is competitive, and the competitive players, which obviously the college coaches are focused on. But what I found in doing the research was, if you look at all the other sports out there, 20 to 30% of that recruiting process for these players in every other sport are camps or showcase camps, ID camps, position camps. And there really hasn't been an initiative in the junior golf space to provide that education and that opportunity for juniors and parents to get access to college coaches and the information that they need to kind of fulfill their dreams of playing college golf.
I agree with you. I think education is key. And I think if you look at it, a lot of college golf coaches don't know the rules. So how in the world can we expect parents or prospects or a 16-year-old kid or 15-year-old kid to know that they don't know the rules? So I thought maybe we'd kind of when we kind of were jumping here from camps to the college golf experience and the recruiting process, which I think is important. But let's talk about some important days in recruiting. So, June 15th, I mean, I know that's a big day in my world because we actually get to start communicating with kids who have just finished their sophomore year in high school. So they're going to go into their junior year. We can't see them off campus. I mean, we can't contact them off campus. We can only have communication with them. So that's a big date, June 15th. So we can text, email, phone calls to and from. We can write letters, we can write emails, we can do all of that until August 1st. And then August 1st, they can actually start taking visits. So unofficial and official. So those are two big dates. Do the parents and prospects you come in contact with know those dates at all?
Yeah, I think some of them know them, but you talk about a misconception in education and the recruiting process, and these players who are accomplished or probably reach out to coaches prior to that June 15th deadline, and they're emailing them or calling them, and they're not getting a response, and they might be frustrated, but they don't realize that a coach can't contact them. Obviously at the D1, D2 level. Prior to June 15th. So it's, yeah, that is certainly a misconception that I think players and parents often have, and it can lead to, I think that it can lead to an amount of disconcern on the player's part. Like, hey, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to be doing better? When really it's just a rule put forth by the NCAA that causes that. So I think it's really important that just as you stated it so clearly, that date becomes more fluid and more general knowledge out there for anyone who's looking to play college golf.
Definitely. You know, the you mentioned that parents or kids might get upset. You know, the coach hasn't contacted me, hasn't, you know, responded. What's going on here? Well, that's because they don't know the rules. And the coach knows the rules. He can't respond. So I think it's important for a prospect to know those dates, June 15th after your sophomore year, and then August 1st of your junior year, going into your junior year, where you can actually start visiting campus. Now, a prospect can go on campus anytime he wants. He just can't meet with an athletic department member or a coach. He just can't do that. And a coach can't even bump into him. He's got to stay away from prospects at all before that August 1st date. So there's a couple other things that numbers that are important, and that is 45 days. A coach only gets 45 days to recruit off campus during his year, August 1st through July 31st is essentially that. And that includes he and his assistant coach. So if a coach is there following you, it's one of his 45 days. You better appreciate the fact he's there watching, because it's that. And then we only get 7 recruiting opportunities during a school year. So that would be from, pardon me, from September 1 to May 31st. We have 7 recruiting opportunities. Only 3 of those may be with each prospect. Only 3 may be off-campus contacts if he's of age. And then 4 could be, if he has 3 off-campus contacts, it could be 4 evaluations or 7 evaluations or any combination of the two, with the max being 3 off-campus contacts. So I bet your parents and prospects don't know those rules either. If I mean, during the school year, September 1 to May 31, we are limited.
Absolutely. And it's not just our parents and prospects. I think that it's, you know, everyone's parents and prospects that we've come across over the last couple of years. But, you know, the other misconception, which is interesting, is obviously camps are an opportunity prior to that June 15th deadline to be able to engage and learn from coaches. And that is also a misconception. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we have parents with really high ranked players reach out to us and say, hey, you know, they actually have known the deadline, you know, the June 15th deadline, but they reach out and they say, hey, I'm not sure I'm allowed to come to this camp because, you know, it's prior to June 15th. He can't or she can't be in front of the college coaches. Like, well, actually, no, at a camp, you are allowed to do that. You know, your coaches are not allowed to engage you about, you know, specific recruiting to their school, but you can absolutely engage with them, you know, get to know them and also be able to, you know, be able to just be around them.
Well, I think that's one of the big benefits of going to either a camp such as yours or either elite camps that coaches might be putting on at universities, is there is the potential for some education where you can find out about what a typical day in the life of a college golfer would be. What are the rules? What must he do? What can he do? What can't he do? And what to expect in the recruiting process. So, you know, if I'm the number one ranked junior player in the country, I don't have to do a lot of communicating to coaches because those coaches are coming for me. But if I'm a pretty solid kid, but I'm ranked 683rd in my class, you know, in the country, it's like you don't have all the college coaches come in your direction. You need to promote yourself a little bit. So what do you tell kids as far as how to communicate with a coach? How often, what type of communication, that type, once it's legal or once it's rules allow?
Well, I think the first thing is you got to be persistent and you got to figure out a way to get in the game and get in front of these coaches. If that means obviously play better, you know, I hear every coach that we've interacted with over the past couple of years, which is over 250 of them, says you play better, right? I mean, you're going to get noticed, your scores are going to get noticed, but if you're trending upward, like you're saying, and you're kind of in the middle of the field there at 683 or in the, you know, top third or whatever it is, you know, you got to get in front of these college coaches. You got to stand out. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You know, emails, obviously, and certainly they're, you know, part of the education that these kids should receive is about what to email and when to email and what to put in those emails and learning about what different coaches like to have in those emails, because every coach is different. and they want to see certain things, or they want certain, you know, pieces of information portrayed differently. So yeah, I would say, you know, for the number one ranked player, you're going to get all the calls in the world. You absolutely are, right? On June 15th, everyone's reaching out to you. But the key for even the highest ranked players is you've got to get to know your coach. You've got to know who you're going to play for and understand if that's the right fit for you, the right fit for your family. And so being able to do homework prior to that date is so vital to that process because, listen, if you're a top 100 ranked player, you're going to have a lot of coaches reaching out to you. So how do you know which one's right? Are you just picking it based on the ranking of the team? So I think that there needs to be as much interaction between players and coaches as you can get prior to that June 15th deadline. It only helps everyone during that process.
I agree with that. And I think you said find your fit. I mean, you've been quoted as saying find your fit, find your spot. So we're going to talk about that again in a minute. But it is really, really important. And I always tell prospects, it's your job too. It's your job to do some research. It's not just the coach's job to research who you are and what your life is about. They need to do the same with me. You know, it's interesting. I tell a kid, you know, you want to find a coach that understands where you've been, that knows the sacrifices you've made. Because the truth is, when I meet a prospect on August 1st and he comes on campus for the first time, he's hit hundreds of thousands of practice balls, I guess. He's played hundreds and hundreds of rounds. He's had tons and tons of disappointing things happen and missed cuts and three putt to lose a tournament and injury and coming back from injury and all the things that have happened in his career to that point all happened before I met him. It's like I need to understand all of that, as much of it as I can, so I can get down there in the trenches with him and let him know, I know that's important to you. Because symbolically, Josh, symbolically, when they say, I want to come play for you, they're saying, here's all of those sacrifices I've made. Now, coach, you're helping me with the next 4 years, you know, augment that. You're helping me push that forward. So do you talk to young kids about those same kinds of things? I mean, how do you speak to them on that note?
Well, I actually like to, believe it or not, put it in the hands of coaches, but you're 100% correct in the sense that, you know, it's like a job interview. You know, when you're putting forth a resume, they don't know when you sit down with that interviewer, they don't, you know, they can read what you want them to read, what's your highlights, but they don't know what you've been through. They don't know those sacrifices that you made at school or in other jobs and what you, so there's a lot of opportunity to talk to a coach about that, which I think, you know, obviously August 1st and after, when you can be on campus or with a coach is vital. But the opportunity for a coach to know that prior to that June 15th deadline and to get to know that player is extremely important. And as we talked about, there's really only a few ways to be able to do that. But for me, it's about coaches being able to lead that process. And that's really what I'm trying to do, and that have the coaches get that opportunity to kind of drive that player's career and his pathway or her pathway to college golf, because that's the way it is in all the other sports. And so college golf coaches care. You know, the majority of college golf coaches out there, coach, we know they don't get paid a lot of money, and they do it as a labor of love. And when you break down the amount of hours and the amount that they're getting paid, it's a labor of love, and they love what they do, and they're educators and teachers by nature. So why not put them in a position of power to be able to guide these players and these parents down that path? And that's what I think is the biggest opportunity.
I think you're totally right. I really like the way you put that. I think it's important that the coach is seeking that out of the player. The player is seeking that information from the coach. So together you find this fit, and no fit is perfect. And there is a reason we have a transfer portal nowadays, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, when I've got a prospect and his parents in my office, so a mom and dad and the young kid, and I'll say to him, who people do you love most in the entire world? And 100% of the time they point next, you know, my mom and dad. I mean, those are the people that have sacrificed for me and done everything. I said, well, has every day been perfect with them? He goes, no. Have you been grounded? Yes, sir. Have you been disciplined? Yes, sir. Well, that's because they love you. Now, if you haven't had a perfect day every day with your parents, how could you expect to have a perfect day every day with me? It's not going to happen. So what I want you to do is we find out as much about each other as we can so that when that first perfect day doesn't come about, and when it actually comes about, I'm sorry, that we've already been in the trenches. We know who we are and we can get through this because we communicate with each other. But to tell a young player and his parents that it's all going to be perfect because I'm the most amazing coach ever, that's not the way it is. It just doesn't happen. But it does come from the recruiting process, the communication that occurs, and the information gathering that should be taking place.
Yeah, I think you learn a lot more about a person when things are going wrong than when they're going right. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to work camps with you, coach. And I remember you telling me we were on a golf course and we were watching a group go by and you said to me, and it struck with me, and I've heard other coaches say the same thing. I would rather, whether at a camp or a tournament, I'd rather watch a player hit a bad shot than a good shot, because I want to see how they react to that situation, because life isn't easy. Life isn't fair. And everybody knows that, especially if you're a golfer. So absolutely spot on with what you're saying. And I've learned a ton from coaches who walk me through their process in evaluating a player. And that's certainly one of the misconceptions, right? Because it's not all about scores. Coaches certainly are queuing in on that, especially, you know, everyone's always going to cue in on scores, but there's so much more to the process and the pathway to finding your fit and to getting to play college golf than to just what you're shooting.
I agree. You have said, find your fit, find your spot. There is a spot for any young competitive golfer someplace on some college golf team. But you hope what you've done is you've done enough work, and your game will dictate a little bit of that. Obviously, if you average 79, you probably have limited number of schools you can go to compared to the kid who averages 70.0. They're different, but the fit you're trying to find, which is somebody that would motivate you, inspire you, hold you accountable, all those things that we think a coach should be about, that's your job as a prospect, is to find those things out. And the job of a coach is to find kids who he thinks kind of go in line with those things or see the world a little bit the same way they do. So do you give I know you have a lot of questions asked by parents, but and prospects, do you give those answers from, I mean, you're picking up information as you go along. So I know I'm learning from you, and I know that every time that I have a conversation like this, I pick up on something else. So how do you speak to the parents?
Yeah, finding your fit is not easy. And I concur with what you're saying about it has to be the right fit for the coach too, right? All those plane rides, all those van rides, all those practice sessions, you gotta pick players that you want to be around. And if you look at it from a vice versa standpoint with the players and the parents, right? Where do you start? And I think that that's really a lack of education out there, is where do you start this process of finding your fit? And again, you nailed it, right? I hear this from every coach out there, you know, if I'm leading an education seminar, and if you want to play college golf, there's a spot for you. You know, it may not be at a top 25 school, but maybe at a junior college or NAIA. And not to say there's anything bad about that, but it's, you know, part of that's going to be based on your scores. If you want to play college golf, you can. But the key to finding your fit that we've seen, and there's kind of a progression, almost like that player pathway that I was talking about, introductory, recreational, competitive. But there's kind of a progression here, right? And I think that players first need to identify what geography they want to play in, right? If you're from South Florida, you may or may not want to be playing golf, you know, college golf in Wisconsin. So you got to figure out where you want to play geographically. And there may be more than one place. And you got to get a sense of what college golf is going to be like out there in that geography. The second thing that you got to do is you really got to hone your game in tournaments. And there's a couple of different ways to do that, right? I mean, obviously you can play a ton of tournaments, and I hear coaches saying all the time that some of, you know, most players out there are just simply playing too many tournaments. Their schedules are too packed tight. And there's little to no engagement with coaches at that point. And one of the things, you know, that I've seen out there are these preview camps, right? These camps that are being put on in front of a junior tournament to be able to go over course management and strategy with junior golfers, the same way they would engage in college golf. And those are vital because those can help you, you know, every junior golfer has a swing coach, but not everyone gets a lot of attention on the golf course. So the ability to level up your game and increase your rankings and, you know, get better on the golf course, as we all know, you're going to have hardship and you're going to have those bad days. Well, how do you turn that 76 into a 73, right? That's vital to your development as a junior golfer. And from there, you know, when you look at, okay, I now have a good idea of what geography I want to play in. I now approximately know what ranking I'm going to be, right? I know approximately where I'm going to fall in that college golf ecosystem. Well, now it's time to get in front of those coaches and really understand what that opportunity is and pick 3 to 5 schools that you really want to focus on, right? So whether it's on-campus visit, going to their elite camps, whatever it is that you feel that you need to do to familiarize yourself and feel comfortable when that August 1st date comes, that now you can, you know, sit down with that coach, walk the campus with that coach, do whatever that coach wants to do with you to acclimate you and say, hey, we'd like you to come here, or where else are you looking? What are your plans? So from there, kind of that 3-step process is vital to a junior golfer's and their parents or family's pathway to college golf.
Yeah, and it's that NCAA has given us that month and a half to 2 month period from June 15th to August 1st to kind of get to know each other. But we do that through, you know, text messages, emails, phone calls, letters, whatever. So we're actually getting to know the person so that when they do get on campus, it's not brand new. You know, you said find your fit. We've said that many, many times. And on this podcast, I've had Lee Jansen, who was a 2-time U.S. Open champion, but also a Division II collegiate golfer at Florida Southern. And he said something I'll never forget, and I mentioned it to parents and prospects all the time. He said, it was the craziest thing because I had sort of a chance to go to Florida, but I decided to go to Florida Southern. It was a better fit for me. It was better for me, and I knew it. But people always questioned my decision because it was like, why would you play Division II golf if you could play Division I golf? And it never occurred to him. He said, I was just playing college golf. I wasn't playing Division I, Division II. I was just playing college golf. And now I realize he could have played Division I golf. There's no doubt. But he wanted to go play at Florida Southern because he respected that coach and that's what he wanted to do. And I say, you're just playing college golf. And Xander Schauffele doesn't have to take a back seat to anybody. And he played at San Diego State. Well, San Diego State isn't one of the top 5 teams in the country every year. Okay, so be it. He's made himself into one of the top players in the entire world. And everybody's journey is different. Dustin Johnson went to Coastal Carolina, not necessarily a powerhouse in the top 5 team every year. I guess what I'm saying is finding your fit is extremely important because it gives you a chance to continue this career that you want, which is competitive golf. And if you're sitting on the bench at a big school, you're not getting better.
100%. And I've heard many coaches speak about that. At camp saying, you know, you want to go where you can play, where you can get into that lineup and you can advance your skills. Because certainly if you want to have the bag, that's great. You know, no matter where you play, if you want that bag and you want to be able to walk around with that on your shoulders, that's fantastic. But you want to be in the game and you want to travel, you want to have that experience. And I, you know, I certainly would never compare myself to Lee Jansen or any or Xander, but, you know, I had a very similar experience in the sense that I turned down, you know, Division I to go to Division III. And a lot of people are like, oh, how could you do that? And it's like, this was the right fit for me for a number of different reasons. And I'm sure that we could probably bring on thousands of junior golfers over the years that have stories like that. You know, golf is unique. You know, you talk about Division II golfers, you talk about, you know, golfers who are, you know, we can certainly touch upon the transfer portal and who are moving up divisions or going to different schools, et cetera. You know, golf's an individualistic sport. Certainly being part of a team is different, but when it comes down to it, at the highest level, golf is an individualistic sport. And so there is a uniqueness to that in that, you know, the golfer, the junior golfer, and then the college golfer needs to be comfortable within themselves to be able to select that right fit for them.
I agree with that. And that right fit also includes the teammates you're going to be friends with the rest of your life. So as you're gathering information, find out who that coach is going to surround you with. What kind of players, what kind of guys does he usually recruit? I would talk to parents if I was a parent or a kid. I would talk to parents of current players on that team. Find out as much information as you can, because I once asked Bob Tway, he had won two national championships as a team playing at Oklahoma State, and they lost two heartbreaking ones. The other, he would have won four in a row. And he said, I would give any PGA Tour victory back for one more national championship. You could have the money that I won. You could take it, take the PGA Tour title, take it. I want another team title. It's a really, really cool experience to be able to play college golf. And Bob is still friends with those guys he played on the college golf team with. So you're getting ready to go into a realm that's like, I'm going to make friends for life in this experience.
Absolutely. And you know, the pedigree of college golf has risen so much in the past couple of years. I mean, look at what it has now, right? You know, you have an exemption into the Masters. It's now on TV a lot more. I mean, just the exposure and the pedigree of college golf has gone through the roof. And, you know, you talk about finding your fit, right? So obviously COVID was negative in a lot of ways, but, you know, for the golf industry, it was a boom. And they're talking about 2 to 3 times more junior golfers than there were in the past, which means the depth of junior golfers coming up through the ranks in the next 5 to 7 years is going to be immense. And so when you think about that as a college coach, right, what does that mean for me? Well, that means that you're going to have a lot of kids who are a lot more jumbled up. There's going to be a lot more depth in each class. And so how are you going to differentiate those kids? It's not going to be able to be all by scores, because the scores are going to be even more bunched up. So how do you differentiate them, and how do you get to know them, and how do you get ahead of that recruiting process, and how do you as a coach find your right fit of player or players in that class? You know, if you're not going to the transfer portal. So I just see more and more opportunities. The more that coaches can get in front of junior golfers and their parents, the better that they're going to be in you know, creating that education connection between the two parties. That to me is going to be absolutely key in the future. The boys game is extremely deep right now. It's only going to get deeper. The women's game, I don't think is quite as deep. I've had a lot of women's coaches tell me that, but it is significantly getting deeper, especially with, from what I understand, women's golf is one of the least used college scholarships out there. In terms of the ones that don't get used. So I see that trend bucking in the next 3 to 5 years, and it getting only more competitive. So you got to set yourself apart if you're a junior golfer, if you're a parent. And as a coach, how do you really find that right fit? And that's going to come down to educating yourself on that player and their family.
And to piggyback off of that, it also means that our rosters have gotten bigger. I mean, because of COVID, we've had fifth year students, we've had bigger rosters. But now if you've got more junior golfers competing for those spots, it's even more important for the coach and for the prospect to do their homework ahead of time, so you can stand out, so you can get the right fit, so you can do all that. Okay, you've mentioned the portal twice. I'm going to go ahead and jump in there. I'm not jumping in the portal. I'm staying at Baylor. But I think the portal would be less busy if we did do our homework ahead of time, both player and prospect and coach, because a lot of kids think, and this is a very flawed way of thinking, but it's what they've been trained to do. Well, if you don't get the right fit coming out of high school, the portal will allow you to just jump anywhere you want. And I just think it's terrible. I feel like the portal has a purpose because sometimes you get in a situation that's just not good at all. I mean, it's terrible. Maybe the coach that recruited you left, and now this new coach doesn't want you around or whatever. So the portal has its purpose and it's good, but it's full. I mean, there's a ton of kids in that portal all the time. So I'm thinking if we did a better job, both prospect and coach ahead of time, there'd be less of a chance you'd end up in that portal. What do you think, John?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me to comment on. I hear both I hear from coaches both a love-hate relationship with it, understanding in the world that we live in, why a portal is needed. But I agree with you. Things can change during your 4 years, right? Those are formidable years for junior golfers. Excuse me, for college golfers. When they get there's a lot of change that happens to you when you go from being at home to going to kind of being on your own and being a little bit more independent. So sometimes the fit is there and sometimes it isn't. I think it's a lot tougher on the coaches than it is on the players. And that can dramatically impact the way a coach, recruits, the type of player they're looking for. And I agree with you. I think the more opportunity and education a coach can have ahead of time on those players, the less likelihood there will be for that portal. But I do think there needs to be some changes. I'm not influential enough to be able to say what those changes, should be. But I think the free for all portal, the way it is now, I think it needs to be reined in a little bit because college coaches, the job is hard. I mean, it's a labor of love, but it's a tough job for many reasons. And now you add the portal into that, and it gets even tougher and more stressful to continue doing what you love to do.
Yes, it does. But it's also another thing you have to manage. And by the way, it's legal to go in the portal. I'm not saying anybody that goes in the portal and gets a player, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. And there is a use for it. There's a place for it. But I think when it becomes so much a part of the process that, oh, if I get uncomfortable or if it's not quite right, I'll just leave. No, that's not, we're not teaching them anything. Plus, the other thing I've preached, and I'm going to do it right here, is that I think the if you want to get in the portal, there has to be a meeting between you, the parents, you, the player, and the coach, and an administrator. And we just have a little meeting. We just say, okay, this is explain your Jimmy, explain why you're unhappy. Okay, this is why I'm unhappy. And the coach tries to, they go back and forth. They just have a conflict resolution moment where I don't agree with you, you don't agree with me. Let's see if we can come out with a solution. If we can't, I'll sign it. You go in the portal. I just think it needs to be more where the kid understands you just don't run from problems in life. If you're unhappy, it's okay to get a new start. But let's talk to that adult in your life that created this situation that you don't like, and let's talk about it. So that's just me. That's preaching,
Yeah,
but that's, go ahead.
the only thing that I would say is I do believe that there should be some ramifications if you enter the portal. And the only reason why I believe that is, if you think about if you're a junior golfer and it's one thing to find your fit, but it's another thing to put in the time, develop, dedicate yourself to your game, getting better. Then being able to have your mix of coaches to be able to guide you towards college golf and to for you to find your fit. And if you take that initiative and if you're sacrificing some of your high school years, as we all know, there's sacrifice in everything you do, but if you're sacrificing some of those high school years and other high schoolers aren't, and then all of a sudden there's that opportunity for the portal. I think that there just needs to be a little bit of ramification if you do that, because I think it's taking away from what some of those players did in high school and those 4, 5, 6 years leading up to college that other players didn't do. So that's where I kind of stand on that.
Well, and so I'm a college coach, so I'm involved in the portal. You're not because you're not in the college golf actual space being a college coach, but you see it all the time and you talk to parents about it. So we know the portal exists. I'm trying to operate in that world as best I can. And it's only been 3 or 4 years now. So we don't really know what the ramifications will be long term. But I'm with you. I think if a kid wants to leave, that's fine. But we need to make sure that there's a process a little tighter than it is right now. So anyway, okay. All right. Well, Josh, tell me this. I've got just a couple other things I kind of want to go over here with you. If you had a choice, what would you choose to be the most important aspect of the recruiting process? So let's say from the prospect's point of view, what's the most important quality he must exude or he must show the coach? And what's the most important part of the process to you as far as getting him that going forward? What's the most important to you?
So the most important thing for me or for a player?
In your opinion, what should the most important thing be for a player to consider? Sorry, I didn't ask that correct.
Well, that's okay. I think it's personality of coach and you know the environment of the school that they are a part of, because that to me is the ultimate fit, right? It's you're going to be spending, you know, most likely 4 years with that coach and at that institution. And that you number one, you got to want to be in that environment. You know, if you want to be at a large D1 school, rah, rah, then you should be there. If you want to be at a smaller school that is more academically focused, you know, a Division III school, then you should be there. That's one aspect. So it's kind of a two part for me. And then the second part is the personality of that coach, right? Do you want to spend a lot of your formable years, those 4 years in college, which, you know, I believe are the best years of your life. Like you said, you're meeting lifelong friends, you're learning about a lot more than just golf during your college years. I think you got to have a personality fit with the coach. So those two things for me are the key to success in that pathway from junior golf to college golf.
I love it. Very well said. Well, Josh, I'm going to see you next month. So I appreciate you, one, coming onto the podcast today, but I'll see you next month at a camp in Texas, which I'm really looking forward to. I love the way you do things, and I love your perspective on this whole space in the world of golf. So thank you again for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Talk to you then.